First, I just want to say thank you for my fathers, Abuna Nan and Abuna James, for inviting me and allowing me to take the blessing of being with you and the blessing of St. Mary and her church in Houston. I'm very happy to be here. And like Abuna Nan was saying, he chose the theme of the Beatitudes, and the Beatitude, or the blessing, that we're going to talk about today is, blessed is the man who listens to me. Blessed is the man who listens to me. And actually, if you look at all of the virtues or all of the blessings that Abuna Yunan and Abuna James picked, you can see that in St. Mary's life, she is completing them almost perfectly. And this one is no exception. She lived her life listening to God. And not only listening to God, but able to say yes to God when she heard His voice. So this is what we're hopefully going to try to learn today. How can I listen to God? And then, when I hear God's voice, how do I have the ability, the courage to say yes to Him? To say yes to Him and what He's asking me to do. Okay. I know you don't know me, but if you knew me, you would know I love riddles. I love brain teasers. So I have one for you, and hopefully you guys can get it. I hope. You have to pay very close attention to what I'm going to say for you to understand it. You're driving a bus, okay? You're driving a bus. The bus goes east 12 miles. The bus goes east 12 miles. Then it turns south 2 miles. And it picks up 9 passengers. After this, the bus turns west for 3 miles. And then it drops off 4 passengers. So the question is, how old is the bus driver? Does anybody know the answer? Let me say it one more time. Let me say it one more time.
How can I follow along on the data? Do you want? Or else how are you going to be able to do it?
Okay, I'll say the riddle one more time. See if you can pay attention. You're driving a bus, and the bus goes east 12 miles, turns south 2 miles, picks up 9 passengers. Then it turns west for 3 miles, and then it drops off, thank you, 4 passengers. How old is the bus driver? Very good. One person got it. Some people got it. This has to go with the next one? Okay, very good. Remember, the first sentence that I said was, you are the bus driver. You are the bus driver. The main problem that we have when we hear this riddle, why it's sometimes difficult for us, is we have to listen carefully, and we're not listening. We're actually, you got stuck on the facts that you thought was going to be important, the things that you thought I should really pay attention to. How many miles, how many people, dropping them off, picking them up, all this stuff. And you got preoccupied with all of this information, and you forgot the easy information that said you are the bus driver. Because if you knew you were the bus driver, obviously the answer is easy. Unfortunately, I think we often are doing the same thing to God. A huge component of our relationship with Him that we sometimes forget is the importance of listening to Him. Listening, of course, is important in any relationship. If you think about your relationships, not just with God, right? With my spouse, with my friends, with my family, with my children, whoever. We all have like a need to feel like we are heard, right? We have a need to be listened to. Because when I'm listened to, when somebody listens to me, what does it say? It communicates to me that I'm worth something. I'm sure you guys have experienced this before, that you've like poured your heart out to somebody and you're telling them your life story and you're telling them this very important thing, and in the end you find actually they weren't really paying attention. You know, they kind of look up and like, huh? How do you feel when you do that? How do you feel when they do that to you? Right? You feel hurt. You feel upset. You feel like, you know, they don't really care about you. And like I said, I think sometimes we're doing this with God. How often do we read our Bibles and we have it go in one ear or out the other? Or how often are we praying and we are throwing up to God all sorts of requests, all sorts of things that I need from Him? But I am never taking the time I need to listen to Him. What does He have to say to me? What could He have to say to me? The very, very, very famous parable about listening or about the word of God is the parable of the soils. I'm sure all of you are very familiar with the parable of the sower. How the sower went out to sow the seed and it fell on four different types of land, and how the three types were not able to bring fruit. This parable is actually all about the different reactions to the word of God. How do we listen to his word? The first group, what did they do? They heard and they forgot, right? They heard and the word of God was taken away from them. The second group, they heard, but they had no firm roots. The third group heard and they started to take root, but the cares and the desires of the world choked the word of God. It's only the fourth one actually that was able to bring forth crops, because the person heard the word and he heard it with a good and honest heart, held fast to it, and bore fruit with perseverance. So this parable, the parable of the sower, is all about hearing the word of God. It's all about hearing the word of God. To cement this point, to make sure that people understand that this parable was about hearing the word of God, what does our Lord Jesus Christ say in the parable at the end? He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What does he mean by that? Of course, he's not just talking about ears on the side of my head, right? Most everybody has those. He's not saying, make sure you're listening. He's talking about a spiritual ear. An ear that can hear more than just words. An ear that can hear the beauty and the truth and the power in the words, and that can compel you and transform you and to change you. Actually, he stresses the issue of hearing even more in this parable after his disciples, they start to ask him questions. They say, "Why do you talk to everybody in parables? And can you explain the parable to us?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Okay, who is smart among you guys can tell me what book in the Bible our Lord Jesus Christ is quoting from here when he said this? Anybody know? What book in the Bible? "Seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Yes, he's from Isaiah. He's referencing Isaiah. He's trying to say that, look, there's going to be two different types of hearing. There are people who are going to hear with their physical ears, but they're going to be unable to understand with their spiritual ones. In other words, the word of God can come and can save and transform some people, and others, it will harden. This verse from Isaiah, God is sending Isaiah to the people of Israel. But he warns Isaiah, he says, they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. God is explaining that the words that Isaiah speaks is not going to be actually for their salvation. Unfortunately for them, it's not for their salvation, because they are continuously rejecting him. So in fact, the words, instead of being for their salvation, ends up being for what? For their judgment. They're going to harden their hearts, and they're going to make their ears dull and their eyes dim. So this teaches us something very important about the word of God and about listening to God. Even if God's word does not soften our hearts, even if it does not save us, even if it does not heal us, it doesn't change us, it does not mean it's ineffective. The preaching of God's word might be for the purpose of our judgment. That's a scary thought. I think to myself, okay, either I'm hearing God's word to my salvation, to my credit, to learn and to change and to be transformed, or I am hearing God's word, listening to him, and it will be for my judgment. For my judgment. That's why in the same parable, in verse 18, our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear." Don't be lackadaisical. Don't be lazy in the way you hear God's word. Week after week, we hear it every week in church. Don't take for granted that you read your Bible and you're hearing a message from God. Because if the message is not softening and saving and healing and bearing fruit in our lives, it may be that the word of God is hardening and blinding and dulling our hearts. The word of God, like it says in the Bible, does not return back to him void. It fulfills its purpose. So, I hope I can convey to you that the stakes are very high in listening to God. That's why we need to pray with David. He said that sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. That's what I need to ask God for, these open ears. I'll give you one practical example of hearing the word of God. A lot of people say sermons that we give on Sundays is not the most effective way to change people. Right? Statistically, if I have 200 people sitting and listening to my sermon, maybe 3 or 4 will, after they hear the sermon, really change their life, really act differently, really have a big, make a transformation due to the words that I say. So statistically, it's not really the best way, not the best method. And actually, I would agree. It's not effective. Or it's actually not effective on a percentage level, I guess I could say. But it has nothing to do with the method of communication. It has everything to do with this verse that we have here in the Gospel of St. Matthew. He says, but because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ, also in the Gospel of St. Luke, says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many will seek to enter and will not be able. So we see then there is some effort necessary on our part. Christ says, strive to enter, not just stroll your way on through, right? We're not taking the escalator up to the narrow gate, right? There's effort involved. So the question we need to ask ourselves tonight is, how do I prepare to hear God's word? Especially even think about Sundays. How do I prepare to hear, to listen to God's word even on Sundays? What do I do to give myself the best chance to be affected, the best chance to be changed by His word? I'm going to give you actually just 6 things that I would like, if you could even implement 1 or 2 in your lives, to thinking about what you're doing in your habits before Sunday's liturgy, that will go a long way for you to, when you're hearing God's word, whether it be from the sermon from Abuna or from the scripture readings that we hear, that we're able to have ears that are listening, spiritual ears. The first thing is to pray that God will give you a good and noble heart. Right? Remember when I said in the parable of the soils, what did our Lord Jesus Christ say about the 4th soil? He said, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Our will is governed by what our hearts desire. So, if I need a new heart to follow God with joy, what do I need to do? Whose work is it to change hearts? Whose work is it to change hearts? Can I change my heart, or does God have to change my heart for me? Of course, definitely God is the one who changes my heart. That's why in Jeremiah he says, I will give you a new heart. And in Ezekiel he says, I will give them a heart to know me. So if this is the case, if the changing of hearts is the work of God, I need to ask God for it. I need to be asking Him for it. God, give me a heart that longs for You. Give me a good and noble heart. Give me a heart that is soft, a heart that is receptive to Your word. Give me a humble heart. Give me a meek heart. These should be our prayers when we are, for example, attending Vespers, or when we are in our rooms the night before a liturgy. So this is the first step. Just, I need to ask God for a heart that is open to change, open to hearing His word. The next thing of the 6 steps is to read and meditate on the scripture before coming. This is how, like our Lord Jesus Christ said, take heed how we hear. This is how I can take heed how I hear. I need to be familiar with what's going to be read in the church. That way, it's not coming to me just for the first time on Sunday. I can spend time quietly. I can spend time reflecting on it. I can spend time in prayer on a certain verse because I'm already familiar with the contents. But if I'm hearing it for the first time when I hear it in church, believe me, you will find any excuse and any distraction to let the word of God go in your one ear and out the other. But this is the second thing, to read and to meditate on the scripture before coming to church. Third thing, purify your minds by turning away from worldly entertainment. Listen carefully what the Epistle of St. James says. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save souls. Okay, what did he say? How do I receive the implanted word? What did he say? What do I have to do? I have to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Why? Because these things make the word of God unreceivable for me. I cannot receive the word of God when I have this filthiness and overflow of wickedness within me. For me, I find it very funny, how we as Christians, we spend our time, especially right before liturgy, we spend our time in empty things, silly things, trivial things, immodest things, watching on TV or on the internet, leading up to the liturgy. And then, the funny part for me, then I wonder why my spiritual life is so weak during the liturgy. Why I don't feel an intensity when I'm coming to pray in church. If I really want to hear the word of God the way He means it to be heard, I need to shut off my TV on Saturday night. I need to get into the mood of the church before I come. That's why our Mother, the Church, provides us with Vespers, provides us with the midnight praises, provides us with the morning praises, because she knows you need these as like appetizers, as starters to the divine liturgy, so I can be prepared to hear God's word and prepare to pray in His house. This is what St. Paul says that we need to be doing every Saturday night. He tells us in Philippians, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's what I need to be spending my time with before I'm ready to hear the word of God. Or else I shouldn't come confused to Abuna and say, how come I don't understand anything from the Bible? Or how come I hear the gospel and it doesn't do anything for me? Or I come to church and I leave church the same way I came out. If I'm not doing these things to prepare myself, you're setting yourself up for this. You're setting yourself up to feel nothing, to have no difference, to have no change in my life. This was the third one. Purify your mind by turning away from worldly entertainment. This is the fourth one. Get a good night's rest Saturday night. Does everybody see the picture? This guy's falling asleep during a sermon. Hopefully this doesn't happen too much here. Right? Or if this is not you, sometimes this is you, right? You know you're not supposed to sleep, so you're doing everything you can to stay awake, right? We need to get a good night's rest before I come to hear the word of God on Sunday. I know, I'm sure, there are some of you here, maybe you work all night on Saturday night, and you just get off of work at 7 o'clock, and you shower, and you come to church right away. I'm not talking about you. And God gives you blessing and grace beyond our imagination. But I'm talking about the majority of us. The majority of us who have a choice about when I go to bed. My advice is this. I need to figure out how much time I need to get ready in the morning, to get everybody ready, to get to church, how long the drive is, traffic, all of this stuff. And then I need to count backwards 8 hours. And then I need to discipline myself to make sure I am in bed 15 minutes before that time. If you think about it, think about your lives. It takes much, much, much more discipline to go to bed on time than to get up on time. Think about that. It takes much more discipline to go to bed on time than to get up on time. Because in the morning, there's pressure to wake up, right? I have to wake up. I have school. I have to wake up. I have church. I have to wake up. I have work. But at night, there's no pressure to go to bed. I go to bed when I want to go to bed. Sleep, if you think about it, is boring compared to all the fun things that I could do, right? I could be going out. I could be having fun. I could be watching TV. But, you know, without sufficient sleep, I'm not alert. Our minds are dull. Our emotions are flat. We're unenergetic. So part of taking heed how I hear means I need to get a good night's rest before I hear the word of God. I have a small message for parents about this. Parents are very good. Monday through Friday have a very strict curfew with their kids. They need to go to bed at a certain time so that they can get up for school. and they can have energy and pay attention. Unfortunately, sometimes we really relax this on Saturday nights. My advice for the parents would be, let Friday night be the night, really, that they can stay up if you want them to stay up late. But Saturday night, you need to discipline them to go to bed at a certain and an acceptable time, to know that teaching them that waking up early and alert for church is important. Okay? So this was the fourth one, getting a good night's rest before Saturday night. The next one is to bear with one another without grumbling or criticism. Bear with one another without grumbling or criticism. In the Psalms it says, but they complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. So when I fight, when I grumble, when I have controversy, this can deafen my ears to hearing God's word. I'm not saying we have to come to church as hypocrites and pretend that we don't have any problems. But I need to come to church saying, Lord, show me the log in my eye. Humble me, cleanse me, show me how to deal with the situation that I'm dealing with in a more Christ-like manner. You're going to be surprised how many problems are changed in light of God's word when I come to Him in this manner. The next one is to come in a spirit of meek teachability. I'm not saying to be gullible, just to believe anything you hear. We have our Bibles, and of course we have our heads. But when we read in the epistle of St. James, he says that we should receive the word of God in meekness. If I come to church with a chip on my shoulder, that there's nothing I can learn, and there's nothing I can benefit, and I know everything, I'm definitely going to prove myself right. I'm not going to learn anything. I'm not going to benefit. And I'll leave still thinking I know everything. If I spend time in judging the speaker or the words, I'm going to gain nothing. But if I humble myself before God's word, I'm going to hear and grow and bear fruit. Okay? So those are the six things. If we do those six things, I'm sure we can benefit from the word of God that we hear on Sunday. I'll repeat them. Pray that God would give you a good and noble heart. Read and meditate on the scripture before coming. Purify your mind by turning away from worldly entertainment. Getting a good night's rest Saturday night. Bearing with one another without grumbling or criticism. And coming in a spirit of meek teachability. So this is how I can listen to God's word maybe on Sunday, right? But there is actually much more to listening to God than just what I hear in the sermon or what I hear in the readings on Sunday. I need to learn how to listen to God's voice in other times in my life. So I want to meditate just for a couple of minutes on the story of the calling of Samuel. The story of the calling of Samuel. Probably most of you know Samuel was living in the temple and serving under a priest named Eli. And he was very, very, very young, and God called to him in the middle of the night. Who did he think was calling him when he was called in the middle of the night? He thought it was Eli. So he told them, you know, he went to go see Eli and said, what do you need? And Eli told him, no, it wasn't me, and it happened a few times. Until Eli told him to respond and say, speak for your servant hears. There's something, if we look back in this story, it's actually in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I want to read something in the first verse. It says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Some of you, maybe you think to yourselves, sounds like today, right? There's no widespread revelation. I don't hear the word of God. I don't hear God speaking. So these days might feel for you similar to the days of Samuel. But we have to understand what is the verse trying to say. Some people argue that this means that God wasn't speaking to many people in the days of Samuel's childhood. This could be. It could be. But if you think about it, if you look about the story, if you read just from actually a few chapters from before it, we can see that Eli, he had some sons. Had sons, and they were priests as well. And they were wicked, and they had no respect for God. And they did whatever they wanted, and they didn't care about their duty as priests. This is why messages and visions were uncommon in those days. It's not that God wasn't speaking. It was the fact that there was nobody listening. There was nobody there to relay the message of God to the people. The same exact thing is true for us today. I think God is speaking for us all the time. Many people. But for the most part, we don't listen. So I need to think about, or I want to meditate together with you on maybe four reasons why we might be missing God's message to us in our lives today. First reason, sometimes that we're unable to listen to God, is that we're too busy. We load up our schedules with all sorts of stuff, and we never take the time to just to stop and to listen to God. One of the most famous verses in the book of Psalms says, "Be still and know that I am God." So when can I come to know God? Is when I'm still, in stillness and quietness. But how often do I take the time to do that? When did God speak to Samuel? When did he speak to him? Was it during the day? Was it at night, middle of the night? Actually, for some of us today, even in the middle of the night, we don't have peace and quiet. Lots of us fall asleep like in front of the computer or in front of the TV, right? Lots of people, maybe some of the younger people, fall asleep with headphones in their ears, right? Listening to something before they go to sleep. There's hardly a time in our day or in our night when we are still and quiet, just doing nothing, just listening. Think about your own day. Judge yourself. How many of you spend even 5 minutes sitting and doing nothing? Not reading, not talking, not working, not watching TV, not listening to music. 5 minutes. When you're just quiet with your own thoughts. I think you'll find very rare that there are people who do this. It's becoming more and more uncommon. And actually, it's becoming so uncommon to the point that when I have those couple minutes and I'm forced to do this, I feel uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable. How many of you do this when you're sitting and you're quiet and there's nothing going on? All of a sudden, your hand, almost like it has its own mind, just goes to your pocket, picks up your phone, and starts looking. And you're not even looking at anything. I have to do something. I have to do something. I can't just sit and do nothing. I can't sit still and quietly. I have to be careful with this, because God is speaking in the stillness. God is speaking in the stillness. We shouldn't be afraid of quietness. So this is the first reason, one reason why sometimes we miss God's messages for us. Second thing is, we're sometimes too focused on the wrong things. Like this guy trying to patch up this really small crack in the wall, all of a sudden there's a huge waterfall right next to it. He's not paying attention. Think about the riddle that I told you guys in the beginning. Right? Why couldn't we get the riddle? It's because we were focused on the wrong things. So we missed the point. We missed the easy part. Many of us, when we think about God speaking to us, what do we think of? Speaking to us in the big things in our lives. Where should I live? What job should I have? Who should I marry? But actually, God wants a much deeper and closer relationship than this. One that is not just limited to huge life events. He wants to walk with us in everything that we do. We also, when we're thinking about listening to God and hearing God's message, we think to ourselves, I'm looking for what? A flash of lightning, booms of thunder from the clouds, or smoke, or an angel, or trumpets. Then I can sit up and I can notice and say, okay, God, now you have my attention. But I'll go back to the story of Samuel. How did God speak to Samuel? He called out to him quietly in the night. Sometimes, I will admit, God does dramatic things. He talked to Moses out of the burning bush. He talked to Balaam through a donkey. Even when we're talking about St. Mary, he talked to her through the Archangel Gabriel. But these, I think, are the exception, not the rule. He speaks to us in very, very simple ways. When God spoke to Elijah on the mountain, how did he speak to him? In a whisper. And actually, God speaks to us, or speaks to people even in the Bible, in even more subtle ways. If we look in 2 Samuel, we see David, he's marching with his army, he has all his commanders around him, and they're marching, they're walking. And all of a sudden this guy, his name is Shimei, He comes and he starts swearing at David and throwing rocks and bothering him. This guy, he actually was related to Saul, so obviously he has an axe to grind. How does David respond? How does David respond to this guy? All the commanders, the army, they said, we should kill this guy. He's disrespecting the king. This is our king. Who is he? What does he think he's doing? David has mercy on him. David begins a meditation. He says, you know, maybe this man had a message from God to deliver, and he's delivering his message, and maybe that God is going to reward my patience in this situation and turn this cursing into a blessing for me. So as you see how David was able to see even hatred towards him as a message from God, he turned it into a message from God. He was not waiting for God to speak to him by angels or by miraculous events. So we too, we shouldn't be just waiting for like big signs in the clouds from God. He's speaking to us all the time in a variety of ways. The question again is, are we listening? Are we listening? Third reason, why do I miss God's messages? Sometimes I forget what God sounds like. Because in the middle of all the voices that we hear and we take in every day, sometimes it's hard to pick out God's voice. This is especially the fact if I'm not spending time with Him, if I'm not reading my Bible regularly, meditating on God's Word, reading spiritual books, spending time in prayer with Him, then I begin to be confused of who is God's voice? What's God's voice? Did Samuel recognize God's voice when he called to Samuel? No. He didn't recognize it. Why didn't he recognize it? He never heard it before, right? If he heard God's voice before, he would recognize it. It took God calling him three times, and it took him, with the advice of Eli, to figure out what was going on. Think about it like this. The best way to learn like a foreign language, like Spanish, for example, is repetition and spending time and listening and repeating to what you hear, right? Me personally, I took Spanish in high school for 3 years, and in college I took it for a semester. And if you would have asked me when I was then, I could tell you a lot of stuff in Spanish, and I knew I could understand Spanish very well, and I could speak in Spanish a little bit. If you ask me now, I couldn't tell you maybe two sentences. Why? I didn't practice. I didn't have it with me. I didn't continue. Right? I lost it. I can't recognize Spanish anymore, because I didn't have it anymore. It works the same way when we're listening to God. If I'm not spending time reading His Word, spending time being with Him, His words and His language becomes foreign to me again. And then I miss things because I don't understand Him anymore. The fourth reason why I miss God's messages is sometimes we simply don't want to hear them. Simply, we just don't want to hear them. God, when He calls out to Samuel and He asks for him, does He immediately start speaking and tell him what he needs? No, He didn't say anything. He just called Samuel and He waited. When does God finally deliver the message that He has for Samuel? When Samuel responds and says what? Speak, for your servant is listening. Samuel, he could have chosen, right? He could have said out of fear or out of not wanting to know what God had to say or for any other reason to just ignore God. But instead, he chose to respond and actually purposefully listen to what God had to say. I promise you, God is speaking today to each one of us, whether you believe it or not. But the challenge for us today is, am I going to start listening? It's important to make sure that I take time to be still, take time to separate myself from the world and everything that's going on in it. Then I can hear God's still, small voice, and my soul can be refreshed. And I need to respond to God when He calls. He's not going to force Himself on me. I need to say with Samuel, speak for your servant hears. Be ready and be listening, and be ready to respond to Him. St. Mary, when she listened to God's call and she answered, this is what made her become the most blessed person in human history. The key for her was to say yes. She heard God's call, and in this critical moment, she decided, yes, I'm going to do what God is asking me, even if I don't fully understand it, even if there are question marks on the road for me. I'm going to say yes, and as long as God is with me, I have my faith and my trust in Him that He's going to lead me in the right path. I promise you that God wants to bless our lives too. He wants us to be able to do things for His kingdom that we would have thought beyond, well beyond our capabilities, well beyond our means, well beyond our ability. He wants to work miracles and to revive His church and bring lost sheep back to Him. And He wants you to say yes, to be a part of this. He wants you to enjoy the blessings of being part of the kingdom of God. It reminds me of, like in the Gregorian liturgy, we say that you have no need for my servitude, but rather I need your lordship. Right? God doesn't need me to serve with Him. I'm the one who needs His guidance. I'm the one who needs His lordship. It's a blessing that God asks to us to be His hands and feet, to do His work. So we need to resolve today to improve our listening to God. Take seriously the fact that He's speaking to us, like I was mentioning, every Sunday in church. Take seriously the fact that He speaks to us every day through His word, through meeting somebody, through a servant, through the priest, through anybody that you could interact with. And we have to be listening with this spiritual ear so that we'll be able to hear and to act on His word. The last thing I will leave you with, it's a lesson in how or what it's like to hear the voice of God. This is the story of the conversion of St. Augustine. Actually, St. Augustine, he was walking in his garden, and he was struggling in his mind with his inability to overcome his own passions and his desires. For any of you who know the story of St. Augustine, he lived a really terrible life before he eventually became a committed Christian and eventually a bishop. So he's walking in his garden, and he's carrying the letter of the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. And while he's agonizing in his mind over his struggle of how can I get over my desires, suddenly he hears the voice of a neighbor, his neighbor. It's a child, actually. And the child is just saying, take up and read. He may have been playing with somebody else, maybe talking about something, reading. But immediately, St. Augustine, he took this as a message for him. He opened Paul's letter to the Romans, and actually opened to chapter 13, verse 14. He says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This experience for St. Augustine, this was the moment of his conversion. He became a very important church father because he heard the word of God, the voice of God speaking, even though it was just the voice of a child. My point in this story to end with is, do not wait for God to speak to you in some amazing and miraculous way. St. Augustine, God worked a miracle in his life, the miracle of changing him from being an evil person, a person who is enslaved by his desire and enslaved by sin, to being a holy person, a person who wrote many, many writings that we still reference today, all because he heard the voice of God, listened to the voice of God, and responded to the voice of God. May God give us all this ability to listen and to respond to His voice, and glory be to our God forever and ever. Amen.